Well, good morning. It's been good to be away for the last 2 weeks and just spending some time first at the Baptist Union Assembly and then with our family last weekend. And but it's good to be back as we continue in our study in the book of Hebrews. Believe it or not, we're in the last chapter. And while I had only thought we would do one or two sermons out of this last chapter, as I've been working on it, I probably have three or four sermons at least out of this last chapter. And it's a very practical chapter, and to a large degree, we will see that it's what the writer of the book of Hebrews is calling us to, is right, is calling us to action, having learned what we have up until now. Let's a word of prayer as we begin our time together. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for every reminder of the great truth of the book of Hebrews, that you are superior in every single way. And Lord, as we come toward the end of our study in this book, Lord, we would pray that you'd help us not only to understand this in theory and in but Lord, to be able to put it into practice, to live in such a way that we believe that you and you alone are worthy of all that we can give and all that we are. We just give you all the praise. Speak again through your word. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Well, I'm going to just read the first six verses of chapter 13 of the book of Hebrews, and we're going to begin our sort of kind of last few sermons in this last chapter. The writer of the book of Hebrews writes, "Continue to love each other with true Christian love. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Don't forget about those in prison. Suffer with them as though you were there yourselves. Share the sorrow of those being mistreated as though you feel their pain on your backs. Give honor to marriage. Remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Stay away from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, 'I will never fail you. I will never forsake you.' That is why we can say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper, so I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?'" So I want to begin just looking at this subject of what we must do because we know Jesus is superior in every way. That's what the writer of the Hebrews is trying to tell us. We've been reminded that Jesus is superior in every way through the book of Hebrews, and the last sermon that we looked at, we were reminded that we must listen to God because Jesus is superior. But now some action. What must we do? What are the things that we need to do? And I will look at some of those as we start our series today. First of all, because we know Jesus is superior in every way possible, we must persistently show Christian love. Verse 1 says, the writer says, continue to love each other with true Christian love. Well, first of all, friends, as we think about persistently showing Christian love, I want you to know that this love is love that is specifically for other believers. The word that is used here is the word Philadelphia, or brotherly love. The city of Philadelphia means the city of brotherly love. And the writer to the book of Hebrews, there are many words for love that we find in the scriptures. But this one, Philadelphia, talks about loving your brothers. Of course, sisters are included in that, as I reminded you a little while ago. But loving the brethren, really, is if we were kind of trying to sound a little bit more non-gender-specific. We must show love towards our fellow Christians. That's why the NIV translates it, continue to love with true Christian love. Friend, one of the signs of a church, we're reminded that the world will know we are Christians by our love. How do we act towards each other? How do we care for each other? The second thing you must understand about showing this persistent Christian love is that it's not optional, it's a command. The writer to the Hebrews puts this word in what we call the imperative tense. It's not a request, it's not saying, oh, kind of, won't you think about loving each other? He's saying, love each other. This is a command. We find this right throughout the scriptures, friend, the command to love our fellow brethren. It's the only way. It's the way God loved us and showed us that he loved us. And so if we want to show others about the love that God has for us, then we must show love one for another. The third thing that we must understand about this Christian love is that it must be consistent. The word that is translated in the NIV as continue to love each other is the word Greek word meno, and the word literally means to abide or to dwell. So what the writer of the book of Hebrews is saying as he's coming to an end here is, friends, love must take up residence in your church. So what's our church like? How loving are we towards each other? How loving are you towards other fellow Christians? Do people know that you are Christian because of your love? Friend, because of who Jesus is, Jesus' ultimate expression, Jesus' ultimate fulfillment of God's plan is the fulfillment of love. For God loved in this way that he sent Jesus Christ. How do we love? Do we love in the same way that God loves? Friends, because Jesus is our example, we must follow that example and display the same love that Jesus had for us. Secondly, because we know Jesus is superior in every way possible, we must be people who are hospitable. Verse 2 says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. So what's the writer of the book of Hebrews telling us about being hospitable? Well, first of all, he says, hospitable people are intentional. When he says, don't forget, he's not saying, well, you know, you can't. You see, you can forget about it. You can just not make it part of your mind. Friends, hospitality takes effort. It's not an easy thing. You've got to buy the food or whatever you're going to do. You've got to put the effort in to prepare it and cook it. When the writer to the book of Hebrews is saying, don't forget, we could better translate it as don't neglect to do it. Friend, how hospitable are you? Do you show hospitality to others? whenever our children complained about nobody loved them and nobody cared for them, we always said this to them, and it's a phrase that we have tried to practice in our own lives. To have a friend, you must be a friend. Do you hear that? To have a friend, you must be a friend. Friends, oftentimes we wonder why people don't like us. Sadly, because we don't like them. We don't show how much we like them by caring for them. Hospitable people are intentional people. But the writer of the book of Hebrews also says, hospitable people are often encouraged in that process. He says this incredible thing. Some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Now, of course, we know that this is literally true. In Genesis chapter 18, we have the story of Abraham who entertained angels. Literally, angels came to his house. Man, now, who knows? You may have had an angel come to your house. Friends, Jesus reminds us. In Matthew chapter 5, he tells us the difference between sheep and goats. He says this, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you invited me in. Friend, when you feed somebody, when you give somebody something to drink, when you entertain somebody, you could be entertaining Jesus himself. But friend, there's another kind of possibility here. The word for angel in Greek simply means a messenger. What the writer to the book of Hebrews may be saying is this. As you entertain people, God may use one of them to give you a message about himself. Friends, isn't that so true? So oftentimes when we're in the company of people, we hear something that we've never heard before. Somebody may say something that just clicks in your mind. You never thought about it in that way. And if you had never exposed yourself to that particular person or entertained that particular person, friend, you may never have got the message from them. So, friends, because we know Jesus is superior, we should be people who are hospitable. Thirdly, because we know Jesus is superior in every other way possible, we must protect fellow believers under attack. The writer to the book of Hebrews says, don't forget those in prison. Suffer with them as though you were there yourselves. Share the sorrow of those being mistreated as though you feel their pain in your own bodies. Friends, are we praying for the persecuted church? Now, as a country, we may not be facing persecution for our faith at present. But friends, we may not be too many years away from that. I want to remind you, there are many parts, however, there are many parts of our world where Christians are being persecuted. And are we caring for them? The best thing we can do, friends, is pray for them. We may not be able to go to some of those countries, but our prayers can get there. Did you know that in the early church, some believers were willing to sell themselves into slavery in order to raise money to support those who were being persecuted. That's why the writer to the Hebrews says, share the sorrow of those who are being mistreated as though you feel the pain in your own body. Literally, these people had become slaves so that it could care for those who were imprisoned. How committed are we to each other? How committed are we to sharing with each other? Are we willing to be sold into slavery to care for a fellow believer? Friends, this is big time stuff. This is not Mickey Mouse stuff. This is being serious about your faith. Sadly, I think as the church, we become too comfortable. We don't really care about others who may be hurting. Fourthly, because we know Jesus is superior in every way possible, we must, the writer tells us, promote marital purity. Verse 4 says, give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God is sure, will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Friends, there are two things we must think about here. First of all, marriage must be honored. Did you know that the laws of our country are being debated at this very moment to make all marriages equal? Issues like same-sex partnerships, polygamy, where one man has many wives, or polyandry, where one woman has many husbands, are all under discussion. Those who are advocates for those various ideas are pushing for them to all be covered under one marriage act. Friends, marriage is under attack in our world. In America, it hasn't quite got to us yet. Do you know that advocates of gender neutrality have discovered something like 70 different genders? You can think of yourself in 70 different ways and describe yourself in 70 different ways. Friends, man, the Bible's under attack. Marriage is under attack. Friends, as a marriage officer, I may be forced to relinquish my appointment as a marriage officer because it may be a criminal offense for me to refuse to marry a same-sex person or partnership. Friend, marriage is under attack, and we need to remember that marriage must be honored. But not only must marriage be honored, vows must be taken seriously. Sadly, the divorce rate between Christians and non-Christians is almost equal statistically. The only difference is that many non-Christians never even get married and move in and out of relationships at will. You see, there was a problem in the early church. The writer to the book of Hebrews was dealing with a group of people known as the Gnostics. The Gnostics didn't worry about the flesh. They said the flesh didn't mean anything. The spirit was important. And so they didn't think sins of the flesh were sins because those didn't matter. You could sleep around, you could mess around, you could get in and out of marriage So even though they call themselves Christian, friends, they didn't honor marriage or take their vow seriously. Are we becoming like that as a Christian church? Friends, surely, because of the way Jesus treated marriage, he honored marriage by being willing even to start his public ministry kind of a little bit out of due time, just because he wanted to make sure that the wedding he was at would be able to keep their heads held high as they provided for their guests. Fifthly, because we know Jesus is superior in every way, we must practice lifestyle simplicity. Verse 5 and 6 says this: stay away from the love of money, be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you, I will never forsake you. That is why we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? So what's he saying? First of all, he's saying, be free from the love of money. Friends, 1 Timothy is so clear. It says in chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Friends, money isn't the problem. We all need money to survive. It's the love of money. I don't know about you, but I've been concerned by the growing advertising of gambling on our televisions in recent years and months. Friends, the whole gambling atmosphere creates something that puts a love in people's hearts that should not be there. Friends, I wonder about our own country. Have we become lovers of money? Sad to say, friends, I wonder if our country hasn't become a country of thieves. When I hear that more than 160,000 civil servants have claimed money from the fund, the 350 Rand fund that was set up, even although they're earning an income, friend tells me there's something wrong. We have become a people chasing after money. But you know, we've discovered money can't solve the problems. The riots that happened recently up in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng didn't solve people's poverty. In fact, it has put them into more poverty. They got a lot of things, but in the end, they lost their jobs. They lost the businesses that were easy for them to get to. And now, they're suffering. Friends, as we think about living a simple lifestyle, practicing a simple lifestyle, friends, not only must we be free from the love of money, we must live contented lives. Earlier on in 1 Timothy 6 in verses 6 to 8, Timothy writes, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. Friends, how contented are we? Are we trusting God? God will provide all that you need. And finally, do we trust God completely? The writer says in verse 6, that is why we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. Can you say with confidence, the Lord is your helper? I think I've shared before that in my early years as a Christian, I really struggled with trusting God. Until God gave me this verse, Matthew chapter 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Friends, since God gave me that verse, I won't say I've never not doubted God. I won't say I've never not had want or lack, something I needed. But friends, by and large, God has kept his promise. For the last 30 years or so, as I've been trusting more and more and more in that verse, friends, all I can say, God has been faithful. You can trust him completely. So, because we know Jesus is superior in every way, these are the first five things. Persistently show Christian love. Be people who are hospitable. Protect fellow believers under attack. Promote marital unity. And practice lifestyle simplicity. Well, we'll continue with this same theme next week as we look at the things Christ wants us to be involved with. How can we best represent Jesus? Well, friends, just do what Jesus calls you to do. Live in such a way that people will have no option but to recognize that you believe in him. Let's pray as we close. Lord, help us in our everyday life to represent you and bring honor and praise to your name. We ask that for your glory. Amen. Lord, bless you again as you go through the rest of the day. Thank you.